count it a joy and a blessing to be here this morning, just to be able to join together as we have and sing the wonderful hymns that give honor and praise to the Lord, and to hear prayer offered by our brethren, and to be able to pray together and to look to the Lord is a great, great blessing. Feel a great need of your prayers as I stand to speak in His name. Come before you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, desiring to share with you the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and recognizing the need that I have of the Lord's blessing to be enabled to do that in power and demonstration of the Spirit, and to do it in a way that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And the passage of Scripture that's on my mind this morning is one that I'm sure is very familiar to you, and it means a great deal to us, and we've looked at it many times before. It's in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, writings of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. And we read in this fourth chapter about how God's children are to live in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And that way is a way of peace for them and a way of rest. And certainly we live in a day and age, as every day and age has been, where we need to find peace and rest. And the only peace and rest that can be found in this world is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look to Him and follow Him and lean upon Him and take our burdens and cast them to the Lord and leave them there, we can find great, great peace and rest as God's children. And we want to live our lives in such a way that we remember who we are, and so that we would live in a way to honor and glory the Lord. I'd like to read a couple verses at the end of chapter 3, because in the very first verse of chapter 4, we have the word therefore, and that always causes us to look back. We could probably look back a lot more than just that couple verses, but we'll begin today by the grace of God at chapter 3 and verse 20 of the book of Philippians. He says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." And those two verses really tell us that our conversation, our life, is really not about just here. And that's good news to know that it isn't just about what's here. If we only had what was here, even if we had all the blessings of the Lord, if we, for me to live is Christ, and that's a wonderful life. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if we had hope in Christ Jesus in this life only, we still would be of all men most miserable. And so our life and our citizenship is not here in this world, is it? It's in heaven. And he says that, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We live, hopefully every day, looking for the return of our Lord, because the Lord who went back into heaven, who is seated on the right hand of the Father, will one day come again. And He's promised that. And His children down through the ages now have looked for that return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to remember that each and every day that we live, keeping that in your mind, because that will help you. Every day we can get so easily wrapped up in what's going on in that day, and we forget why we're really here and who we are. Well, if you're a little child of grace today, your conversation, your life isn't really based in this earth. It's about being with the Lord in glory. One day we will eternally be with the Lord forever, where there'll be no more sorrow, no sadness, no heartache, no problems. And that is a promise given to us by Almighty God, not that we've earned or merited or deserved or gained for ourselves, but really God, even before the foundation of the world, had a love for us and knew who we were, and in time has worked His grace in our hearts and given us a wonderful blessing and existence here in this world. But it's not just about here. It's about one day being with Him over there. Even though He's worked a work of grace in us, we've got this old nature that still is holding us back and holding us down. And one day that's going to be done away with. And we'll be body, soul, and spirit, as He says in this next verse, who shall change. He said, from whence also we look for the Savior. We're looking for the Savior. Aren't you glad we're looking for the Savior? When the Lord returns, He returns as a judge. But I'm thankful that for His children, He's not only the judge, but He's their Savior. And He's going to judge the world. And He will find His children acceptable in His sight because of what He had done for them and the sin debt He's paid for them. And He stands as our Savior. As the judge, He stands as our Savior. What a fearful thing would be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ if we didn't have a Savior. If we had no one to trust in but us, they'd be afraid. And a lot of men and women are scared about the return of the Lord. And that frightens them to think about the Lord returning. A lot of preachers today are in pulpits working the best they can to frighten people with the idea and thought of the Lord coming in order for them to do something to get ready and get right for the Lord. I'm glad the Lord, when He returns, He's our Savior, that we don't have to save ourselves. I know the Bible says to save yourself from this untoward generation, and there's a sense in which God's little children are given grace and the ability to deliver, by the grace of God, ourselves from the troubled world that we're living in, and He's talking a lot about that. But if we did not have a Savior, we wouldn't be able to save ourselves, because it's He who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We work out what God has worked in. If we didn't have a Savior to work it in, we wouldn't have the ability to work it out. And today we look from hence also, our life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I believe we look for Him to return again, but we also look for Him every day. I hope every day you look for Him to have communion with Him, to have fellowship with Him, to abide in Him, to dwell in Him. He is our dwelling place. God has been our dwelling place in all generations. And thanks be to God, we have a place to dwell in Him. When you get into troubles of this world and the problems and the conflicts, and life really throws it at you sometimes, and the affliction seems to overwhelm you, isn't it wonderful to have a Savior that you can go to and look to and say, Lord, help me, and cry out to Him, and He hears every prayer of every one of His children, and He answers them according to His own will and to the best interest of His people. And He says, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we look for Him to do? He's the Lord. He's the Lord, which is the Master. He's the Jesus, which is Savior. And He's Christ, which is the promised anointed one of the Old Testament. He is all those things. Even His name just gets overwhelming when you think about who it is we're looking to. We don't have a Savior that's a little Savior, a weak Savior, a wannabe Savior. We have the great I Am. We have the One who is the eternal Son, who's had the eternal Father, who is part of the triune God, who is one with God. And verily, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And He says, who shall change our vile body? Isn't that good to know that one day He's going to take care of all this mess you and I are? He's going to change this old vile body. And this old vile body, for a little child of grace who's been regenerated, it plagues you. This old vile body plagues you. Now, if the Lord has never touched the inside and you've never been changed and given a circumcised heart, then you don't feel too bad about who you are. The Apostle Paul at one time, as Saul, didn't feel too bad about who he was. As a matter of fact, he would have bragged on who he was and all the good things that he's done. It amazes me sometimes in the religious world now how you hear so many people bragging about all the good things they've done and all the wonderful things they've done and how they've merited either the reward or the favor of Almighty God by their works. Well, we know that our works, collectively, singularly, every way you look at them, our works have condemned us. we've often heard it said, and heard the old preacher say it a long time ago, me and the Lord did it all. I did all the sinning, He did all the saving. And that's something for us to remember today. If I start talking about what you and I and the Lord did, I've gotten off track. Today I'm here to talk to you about what the Lord has done. I'm here to rejoice in what He did for us. I'm here to encourage you to look to Him. I'm here to let you know that in and of yourself you can do nothing. Without Him, you can do nothing. I'm here by the grace of God to let you know by His grace that there is no salvation, there is no deliverance, there is no help in anyone else except the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't depend on me. I can't depend on you any more than the Lord helps us to help one another. We ultimately have to look to the Lord. Our church has to look to the Lord. The preacher has to look to the Lord. The doctor, whether he knows it or not, needs the Lord's help. And you and I need to look to the Lord above the doctor, above the preacher, above the church, above my family or anyone else. I can look to the Lord who is my help, who will supply anything and everything that I stand in need of. He's promised it because of His great love wherewith He loved you, and it has never been what you deserve. So get that out of your head. It's about His grace. And based upon His grace, you and I have today been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we need to walk in that and to live in that and abide in that to the very best of our ability as God gives us grace. And as we do that, in the midst of sickness and heartache and trouble and tribulation and problems and whatever you're sure to face in this world, when the storms hit hard, your house will stand because it's built upon a rock. And this word is telling us how to live our lives upon that rock and remind one another to do it over and over and over again. Aren't you glad you're not alone in this world? I am so thankful today that I don't have to face today or tomorrow or how many tomorrows I have alone. That I have what a friend we have in Jesus. That's right. And that friend loved us a long time before He loved us, knew us before we knew Him, knew the need we would have, knew the depth of sin that we would be in, and came and did everything that was necessary that one day He could return and change our vile bodies and make and fashion it like unto His glorious body without doing any injustice to the righteousness of Almighty God, His Father. And the only way that could happen is because the Son took every sin that you and I had ever committed and took Him in His own body. And there at the cross, He reconciled us to Himself, which means He brought us to a place we can be at peace with God today, this morning. Now, if you're trying to be at peace with God on your terms, there is no peace in that. But if you recognize what He's done for you, you can have peace today based upon the unmerited favor, the grace of Almighty God. That's why the preaching of the cross is the gospel of peace, because it declares unto God's little children how it is they can justifiably have peace. As sinners standing before an angry God, there is one who's taken His anger away and has appeased His wrath, where that you and I have access to Him and even can come boldly to a throne of grace because He's asked us to, He's commanded us to, He has opened the way, He is the way. Boy, He's something. I wish we could just preach Him as great and powerful as He is. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. His glorious body was without any spot or blemish. There was no sin in Him. What a day that's going to be when there's no sin in us. No sins in my thoughts. No sins in my actions. I won't be like the Apostle Paul said he was, and I am. When I would do good, I find evil present with me. And I was talking about the Apostle Paul. At one time he felt he was okay, didn't he? He thought, I'm okay. As that persecuting Saul, he would argue, I'm a Jew. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I am as far as the law, blameless. I have done this. I have done that. He could have given you a whole list of what he had done. He said he was alive without the law once, which means he was at peace with himself because he thought he was okay. You may have looked at a time in your life where you felt like you were okay or doing pretty good. But then there came a time when the Lord really worked in your heart and made you see what you were by nature. What you were by nature. And what that is not anything good. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can you say that? That's all of us. All of us can say that. There's none good. No, not one. That's not me. That's not you. That's not any member here. There's none good. No, not one. That's not my mama. It's not my daddy, my grandparents. None. All the way from Adam. In Adam, I didn't get better and start getting evolving up. I degenerated down. I fell in Adam into a state of sin and death, separated from God. And I would be afraid of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would hold me in judgment, were it not for the grace of Almighty God, and if it was not for Him being my Savior and our Savior. We would have no good news to share with you today. But because of what He's done, because He has reconciled us to Himself, because He has paid the sin debt, I have a ministry, and that ministry is of reconciliation, where I say to you, be reconciled to God. He has reconciled Himself to you. Be reconciled to God. What does that mean? That means you and I can be at peace about God and communicating with Him, and even be able to come boldly through the grace of Almighty God to a throne of grace when you're in trouble. Isn't it good to be able to pray when you're in trouble? Isn't it good when you don't even know what to ask for, that you can look to a God who knows what you need before you ask? Isn't it good when you're not sure whether I should say, Lord, heal me, or Lord, take me home? You can look to the Lord and say, Lord, it's in Thy hands. You can make your request known unto God. You can say exactly what you feel in your heart. You can give Him the praise that He deserves and complain. You know, you can complain. Be careful how you complain, but you can complain. You know, if it's in your heart, He knows it already. You know, sometimes people get angry with the Lord. I've been angry with the Lord. I wish I hadn't been, but I have. Sometimes things haven't suited me just the way I wanted them to go. Things didn't work out like I wanted them to work out. Things didn't seem fair, didn't seem right. I didn't think everything was okay, but then when I've been able, by the grace of Almighty God, to come to a throne of grace, I've been able to see, to some extent, many times to be have it explained to me why this was even in my best interest. I do know this from the Scripture. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean my sin and all things without any some exclusion. What it does mean is all the works of Almighty God, everything that God has done, all the wonder-working things that God has done in overruling sin in our life and delivering us in so many ways, all of those things always work together for our good. Brethren, can we be content today to know that what God does for His people is always the very best for us? If you can get over that, you can have a lot of peace and won't be troubled about a lot of things that would trouble you. He said He shall change our vile body. I believe He's laying out this eternal thing in order for us, this eternal truth, in order for us to see that whatever comes in this world, it's just a little while. We're just here for a little while. Heaven is going to, and one day of heaven is going to make every trouble and trial in this world seem like nothing. The toils of the road will be as nothing when we get to the end of the way. We sing that hymn, not too much, but I do like it. Just the troubles you have in a little while. You ever feel like you're in so much trouble that I just don't feel like this ain't worth it? I got to go back to that place that they took me. I got to go face this same old bunch I left. Oh, if I just had it different, if I just had my life different, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, or whatever. And I'm saying to you, rather than living like that, listen what He says. Rather than complaining and murmuring, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because our citizenship and our conversation is in heaven. from whence the Lord's coming. We have a Lord that we live every day with. We look for Him. And we have fellowship with Him. He is our Savior. He's the Lord, and He's Jesus, and He's Christ, and He's all of those things. He's coming to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And how is He able to do that? According to the working whereby He is able. Oh, if I could just stand here and tell you, He's able. Is God able? Yes, He's able. What can He do? Whatsoever He pleases. Our God's in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He pleases. When we look to a God, He's a God who's able to take. The doctor said, couldn't get over AFib. I'll tell you about a physician who can cure AFib without an ablation. Now, I don't know that he will, but I know that he can. Do you believe that? I believe that. And if he doesn't, he can give me the grace to live with AFib, and he can allow that to be just fine and to have joy and rest and peace in our lives. And when I live as if he's not here, I do him a disservice. I am not honoring him. I'm not praising him. And I'm a troubled soul in this old world when I get away from thinking about the power that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not the one in heaven. We're not the boss down here telling him what to do. He is the Lord. He does his will among the army of earth, armies of heaven, and the inhabitants of the earth. And there is none that can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? But God forbid we would ever think he's not able. Sometimes I get to thinking he's not able. And you know what? That's the old flesh. That's that old vile body that's going to be changed. You know, in heaven, not anybody's going to think he's not able. Not one of his little children will ever think he's not able. You think his children can't think he's not able? I'll tell you what. There was a crowd one day that gathered, and they said, we got a bunch of people here to feed. How are we going to feed them? And somebody said, oh, there's not a bit. What are we going to do? And the Lord said, just tell them to sit down. And there were the disciples said, well, what are we going to do? We only have this much money. And what is that among so many? And then there was a little lad. Where did the lad get his lunch from? The Lord provided it. And that little lad took that. They took that little bit. Jesus took it and spread it among the congregation. And when it was finished, I'm telling you how able he was. He was able to feed all of them. He fed 5,000 on one occasion. Besides men and women and children, besides the children, and I'm not getting all that, but in 4,000 on another occasion. I'm telling you, he's able. In a stormy sea, he was able to walk out on the storm, and he was able to say, peace be still, and the sea calm. I'm telling you, my life is filled with examples, and I say to you, yours is too. Take the shutters off your eyes and think, how good has the Lord been to you to show you time and time again how able he is. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. He's able. And he is able even to subdue all things. What things? All things unto himself. We're not talking about a weak Savior. We're talking about a God who speaks and it stands fast. He spoke this world into existence. The beauty of the mountains, the massive bodies of water in the oceans, the sea, all of that. Just the work, the stars, the work of His fingers. All of that shows us His great power. Brethren, we ought to live every day thinking about who it is that is watching over us, who it is that is with us, not just from a distance looking at us from heaven, but is with us every day. The Scripture here tells us the Lord is at hand. I haven't read it yet, but it's coming up. The Lord is at hand. And that's a reason you and I ought to live our life not such anxious care and trouble, but patiently, gently, meekly waiting on the very will of God and His work in our lives. Do you get concerned? I know we get concerned. Got a surgery coming up. Sister Martha's concerned about that surgery. We're concerned about that surgery for her. Is it wrong to be concerned a little bit? No, that's not wrong. We ought to be caring for one another. Listen, we ought to care for one another. When we ask one another to pray for another, we ought to be caring enough to pray. And when we have our household that needs things, we ought to be concerned. Is it important for me to care about going to work? You better, because the Lord says for you to take care of those of your own household. And for someone who not do that, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There is some care that's supposed to go on. And there is some things. Should you care about how you do on your job? Yes, you should care about that. You should do all things as if it's unto the Lord. And should you be concerned about how you act in your family and in your life? Do I walk through life just carefree? No, he's never called us to do that. But I'm telling you, he's never told us to have anxious care about a single thing. The reason is because you're not in control and I'm not in control, but you better believe he is able and he is in control. And we can look to him and leave it there. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave them there. Take your troubles to the Lord, leave them there. Take your anxious care to the Lord and leave them there. Whether you're young or old, whether you're going to school or whether you're on the job or whether you're retired at home or whatever you're doing, you leave it there. Give it to the Lord. Leave it there. And that doesn't mean you just said, I don't have anything to do. Do what he gives you the ability to do. And do it to the very praise and honor and glory of God. Come before God's people if you're a minister and preach to the very best of your ability. Believe the outcome and all that's necessary to the Lord, and he will supply that. A little brother comes. Sometimes they may say, I can't do that. I can't come and pray. And yet they feel a burden to do that. And if the Lord's laid that burden on your heart, you know what he'll do? He'll supply to you the grace that you need to be able to do what God's called you to do. And whether it's to pray before the congregation, or whether it's to fill your seat in the pew, or whether it's to be a faithful member of the Lord's church and to walk in a way to honor and glorify him, to be that light he's called us to be. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God is the one who gives us the grace and the ability to do that. We would say, what good works could I show? Or what benefit could I be? You don't have any idea what you're able to do through and by the grace of Almighty God. Remember little Gideon? There he was, shaking and hiding away and just scared to death. And the Lord, when he calls him, says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. You know, Gideon probably said, who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? I'm telling you, without the Lord, we can't do anything. But in the Lord and through the Lord and by the Lord, God's little children are a light to others, a benefit to others, a testimony for him to the praise and the honor and the glory of God. And how many godly little saints have been a blessing to us, not because they were something in and of themselves, but because God gave them grace and the ability to be of such great help to us. And all of that was not to our glory. Or their glory. It's to the glory of Almighty God. And it should never be. We should always say, to God be the glory. Give him the praise and the honor. He is able to even subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren. Oh, he's talking in verse 1. Therefore, because of this, my brethren, dearly beloved. Listen to who he's talking to. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking to those little saints at Philippi. He's talking to the little Lydia, the seller of purple, and the Philippian jailer, and his household. He's talking to those little women that were gathered by the river where prayer was wont to be made. He's talking to those that had been baptized into the fellowship of the Philippian church. And not only that, he's talking by inspiration to all of us as God's little children. He says, therefore, my brethren. And who was his brethren? Were we brethren according to the ties of nature? No, we're brethren by the grace of Almighty God. You're my brothers, you're my sisters, through what Jesus has brought us together. Those that are born of the Spirit of God are my brothers and my sisters. We are kin in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is a tie that far, far exceeds the fleshly ties of this world. The closest family you and I ought to have in this world is the family of God. God's little children. When we meet one of them along the way, we ought to be so thankful for that relationship and for that fellowship and for that kinship. If you're in this family, you didn't choose to be in this family. You were born into this family, and you were adopted into this family. And that choice was made by Almighty God. And every little heir of promise, every little one of the elect of God is our brother and our sister. And we sometimes can recognize them in this world, and sometimes they're not shining that light, and we're not shining that light, so sometimes it's hard to see who they are. And so we treat those that we meet as if they're our brethren. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, I want you to know they're loved of God, but they ought to be loved of one another. We ought to be loving one another. As He has loved us, we're to love one another. Boy, that's an example, isn't it? How do we love one another? Sometimes God's little children are easy to love, but sometimes they can seem to get difficult to love. And yet we're duty-bound to love them, not because they're lovable. Listen, He loved us in spite of what we were, but there is a love that God has given to us by His grace, which is a fruit of the Spirit, that we are to exercise and use in loving Him, and we are also to exercise it and use it in loving one another. We are to love one another as He has loved us. And we are to forgive one another as He has forgiven us. What a great blessing it is to have that relationship. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. That means I love them and I want to be with them. I'm glad you're here today. I hope you wanted to be here. Hope it was more than duty that brought you through the door. Though duty is a responsibility. The importance of coming to church is not just because duty demands it, though it does, but it's because we love it. We love the God's people. We love to gather with them. We love to fellowship with them. We love to hear how they're doing. We want to hear about their problems so that we can be praying for one another. What a benefit it is to be able to come out from the world and gather together with God's children and have this kind of fellowship and friendship in this world. The friends that most cheer me on life's rugged way are the friends of my Master, the children of God. What a great blessing it is to have this kind of relationship. Listen, if I'm going into the hospital and sick, I want some of those friends around praying for me. I want to have that fellowship in the Lord. And those that can't be there, I want them to be praying for me and thinking about what I stand in need of. And we wouldn't have this. Listen, if we didn't have an elder brother who's called us all into His family and saved us by His grace, we wouldn't have this kinship. How empty would our life be if there were no brothers and sisters in Christ in this world? And all we had were the friends of the world. You remember how the prodigal son got treated by the friends that he had in the world, don't you? When he got finished with all that he had, the substance that he had, and it was gone. As soon as the substance was gone, the friends were gone. And they put him to work feeding swine. And not feeding him with the food that he was feeding the swine with. I'll tell you, that little Jewish boy was out of place feeding swine, wasn't he? You know he was. And I'll tell you what a great blessing it is to have the Father's house, the Lord's church, where we can come in and we enjoy what the Apostle Paul says, my dearly beloved and longed for. He said, my joy and crown. I believe, I hope and pray that's the way you feel about your church. I hope that's the way you feel about your brethren. My joy and my crown. That means among my chief possessions. You know, what is the most valuable thing that you have in this world? Somebody might say, well, I really like my car. It's okay to like your car, just don't love your car. It's okay to be thankful for it. It's okay to love your home. Be thankful for what the Lord's given you, but don't worship it. It's okay to thank God for the blessings that He's provided for us in a natural way, the treasures, the heavenly blessings that He's provided, but don't worship them. And remember that every blessing you've gotten in that way is for you to use to His honor and to His praise and glory. He gave it to you that you might be a benefit to others. That's the reason He's blessed you with it. That's the reason you have those things. Remember where your true treasures are. And I'll tell you what, when I think of one of the most valuable things to me in this community, if somebody said, where is the most valuable place in this community, I'd hope I'd ride by a little Happy Creek Church and I'd point at it and say, that's And it's not about the building. Listen, this building, we could worship the building. I'm thankful for the building. I'm thankful for... I see the labors of God's little children here. I remember those who've been here in the past and see what they've done and how they loved it. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm telling you, the building could burn up. But the place I'm talking about is the little assembly of the saints where I have come. And it's a place where we can pray and where we can sing and where we have fellowship and where we can have communion and where we can have baptisms and where we can... And those flood my soul. Those precious memories that God has allowed me to have in this world of being able to have sweet fellowship with God's little children. My joy and my crown. And I don't mean a crown and like something you deserve. Listen, everything you have, your joy came by grace and your crown comes by grace. Some people say, I can't wait to get to heaven to get that crown that I've got waiting for me because I've worked so hard for it. I'll tell you, you don't want what you've worked for. Because what you've labored for, the judgments of Almighty God would be real were it not for the grace of God. The crown we will receive isn't what we merited and earned, but what Jesus bought and paid for, and that will be given to us by His grace. We get blessed here in this world with many blessings, though, as we walk in obedience to what the Lord has taught us. And I'll tell you, if you don't value, we're to seek what first before anything else? What does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness and all these things which you do stand in need of will be added to you. Do you see how Paul and Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount are in full agreement here? Isn't it wonderful? Paul didn't have anything that Jesus didn't give him. It was by the grace of Almighty God. And that's why what Paul says is in line with what Jesus says as well as the entirety of the Word of God. It's all in one accord. And if we think on those things that are true, we'll have our lives filled with peace. And if we get off of those things, then we got trouble. He says, therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. What is His desire for the Lord's people? Stand fast in the Lord. Brethren, you stand fast. May we stand fast in the Lord. May we stand fast together. May we not forget His blessings, not forget His strength, not forget His power, not forget His gospel, not forget the strength that He's made us to be. We do not have strength in ourselves, but in you can be a help to your children when you tell them to stand fast in the Lord. You can be a help to your partner in life, your mate, your husband or your wife. And tell them to stand fast in the Lord. Your children, you can help your daddy and your mama by telling them to stand fast in the Lord, because in the Lord you're able to stand. Listen, whatever you face, whether it be death in the family or sickness or heartache or disease or problems, whatever you got coming, whatever you're into right now, when you look to the Lord, you'll have the strength that you stand in need of, and you'll not be ashamed you trusted in Him. And turn it over there and leave it to the Lord. Have you found that to be a blessing already in your life when you think about it? You have you? I hope everybody here is in their heart saying amen. It wouldn't hurt to say it through your lips every once in a while. The Lord's been with us. Give Him the praise and the honor and the glory. Why? When He's been so good to us. Listen, when He's been so good to us, how can we sit and be so quiet sometimes? When the Lord has been so good to us, is He not deserving of praise? Is He not deserving of honor and to His glory? Remember when they cried out when He walked through the streets of Jerusalem and they cried out, Hosanna, and praise to Almighty God. And they said, oh, they're making too much noise. Keep them quiet. He said, if they don't cry, then the rocks will cry out. I'm telling you, every day gives praise to Him. God's little children, we're called to give Him praise. Give Him the praise. Daddy used to say, lift up your hands and shout. Give Him the honor and the glory and praise that's due His name. He says, so stand fast. I want you to stand fast in the Lord. Once you're coming through, going through, you stand fast in the Lord. When you go to face a surgery, you stand fast in the Lord. When you go through your problems in your home and in your family, and we all have them, and you get hit by those things, and you feel like, I don't know what to do, you stand fast in the Lord. When your children go the wrong way, and you want to pull them back, and no, you can't, you stand fast in the Lord. When the bad news comes, you stand fast in the Lord, because I'm telling you, the good news is that He's on the way. And this is just for a little while, and after a little while, we're just occupying, right? Till He comes. this ain't my home. Occupy until he comes. And he's promised to be with me every day. And is he able? Yes. Is he willing? He says he is. Will he do everything I want? No. You know why? Because I want a whole lot of stuff that's not right. Will he do everything that I need? Yes. Will he grant me all my needs according to the riches of his grace and his glory? Absolutely. He's promised us again and again these things. Trust him. Trust him and lean upon him. He says, my dearly beloved. Again, notice he called them to begin with his dearly beloved, and then at the end he called them his dearly beloved. Listen, we ought to be calling one another dearly beloved over and over. I can't tell my wife too much that I love her. And I love to hear it when she says it to me. And I don't mean in a harsh way. I mean, you know. And I'll tell you, in the church, we need to have love in this church. We need to express it. We don't want to take it for granted. We don't. If you take it for granted in your home, it'll soon be something you don't really hold. And is it your joy and your crown? It ought to be. This is a place I love. I love you, dear ones, and I love the fellowship that we have, and we have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what He has done for us, we have the ability to love one another with a way, and it's not in any fleshly, carnal way whatsoever. It's spiritual love. It's spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is our fellowship. Listen, and that love goes beyond anything. The rest of that love of this that the world talks about, it's just here for a little while and it's soon gone. This love is charity that's everlasting. It is kind. It does all the things that 1 Corinthians 13 says it does. And that whole chapter is laid out to that. It suffers long and is kind. Yeah. And then he comes and deals. And it's 12 o'clock, so I want you to read the rest of this, at least up through verse 9. Because I'll tell you what, the peace of Almighty God is a great, great blessing that God's little children need. And we find that when we look to the Lord. I've got to read verse 8 and 9. He says, finally, verse 7. He says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I say to you, when we get in a situation in our lives where our minds just seem to be flooded with all the care and trouble of this world, you ever get there where you just can't get something off your mind? It's bothering you. It's troubling you. Everywhere you turn, that's all you see. It can be as something as simple as a problem in your home, or just in the house itself, or it can be something you're facing, some financial problem, or it could be anything that can. The old devil will use whatever. His fiery darts come wherever he can hit you. And sometimes you think, well, why is this bothering? Have you ever had something that was bothering you, wondered, why is that bothering me so much? I just can't seem to get it off my mind. And you go the whole day just worrying, just careful, being careful, full of care about it. And it doesn't change anything. It doesn't make it any better. And you can't seem to shake it. I know you've been there. I'll tell you, this verse will help you. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, that is excellence, and if there be any praise, that means think about what's excellent and what's praiseworthy, and those are the things you and I are to think on. Now, does that say I'm supposed to worry and think about all this other stuff that doesn't change anything? No. It says to think about these things. If it doesn't fall in this list, get it off your mind. And you say, well, how can I get it out of there? It's just in there. If you fill your mind up with this, hear me, and I'll tell you where you'll find this. You'll find it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find it in His Word, because this Word tells us of the living Word. It tells us of Him. And the more you read it, and the more you fill your mind up with that, and the more you think about this, that trouble will soon Count your blessings, right? We started with that hymn. Name them one by one. You picked that hymn out, and I thought, well, I felt good about what I was thinking about today. You tell me the Lord doesn't work in these things. I know that He does. If I'd have come in and said, count your blessings, well, that was all in my mind. But this little sister, I hadn't told her anything was on my mind. And here, count your blessings. Name them one by one. You know what that means? When I'm thinking on those things, I don't have room for all of that other stuff that troubles me so much to get in the way. Is that true? Isn't that true? Name them one by one. Little fellas going at it. And it will surprise you. It will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I say, those are the things that are true and honest, that is grave, important, whatsoever things are just, that are righteous, whatsoever things that are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. That's the gospel, isn't it? What's good? All the things that you see right, what we're enjoying. What our conversation, our lifestyle is in heaven. Think about those things. And if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That means not only are we to think about them, but we're to put them into practice. Wear them, put them on. Let your light so shine, in a way to give the Lord the praise. And the God of peace might be with you. Didn't say that, did it? The God of peace maybe will help you out. No. It says the God of peace shall be with you. And I'm telling you, when the God of peace is with you, you're at peace. And it's a peace which passes understanding. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. We love you.